What would it be like to see God in all his glory? A rich country house in all its glory would include their masterpiece paintings. A military regiment in all its glory would include shining buttons and well-pressed uniforms. A landscaped garden in all its glory would include spring colour and scents, or 1,000 shades of red, orange, gold and bronze in autumn. So what about God? What would he look like in all his glory? I looked up glory in the dictionary, but it was boring. Glory is awe-inspiring, takes your breath away. And if you try to define it in one sentence, you flatten the life out of it. So synonyms do us better. We are talking about seeing God in all his magnificence, splendor, grandeur, majesty, impressiveness, nobility, pomp, opulence, brilliance, his sheer brightness. What would it be like? Shield your eyes, too dazzling to look at. Cover your ears to avoid permanent damage to your hearing. God's glory in all its beauty and brightness, unfiltered, full on, would overwhelm any of us. In the Bible, when people are given even a tiny glimpse of this, they instantly fall to the ground, too weak to move, and some can't eat for a week. In one of tonight's Bible readings, we met an eyewitness of God's glory, and he lived to tell the tale. But what he saw was really quite unexpected. We mustn't look for God's glory, his beauty, in the wrong places. So here again is John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John says he's seen God's glory with his own eyes, and he's seen it in two places. Number one, he's seen it in the flesh. He's seen it in the flesh. That's the first half of that famous verse. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. The Word is how John refers to God the Son, who has always existed for all eternity, before the creation of time, before had any meaning. This Word became flesh. God the Son became a human being. He was born as a baby, just like we were. Jesus was born and grew into a man and never stopped being the Word, God the Son. We easily forget that. Sometimes we forget it because we just think of the human Jesus. Human, but on a mission. Human, but with some amazing powers. Human, but pulled a crowd, but just human. Other times we forget this because we think the whole thing is just some made-up story, that the Christmas story goes on the same shelf as Winnie the Pooh. Sure, we know how the story goes. Jesus is God. We don't actually believe it happened. If there ever was a baby born in Bethlehem named Jesus, he was just an ordinary child around whom this massive story has grown. Or we think everything has to add up to one. The more human Jesus was, the less he was God. It's like a seesaw. Decide where you want the balance to be between Jesus the man and Jesus the Son of God. A bit of each. But no, Jesus really was, is both. John says, we have seen his glory with his own eyes. He actually walked and talked with the human being who really was, really still is, the eternal Son of God. Which brings us to John's main point. This is actually where God's glory is seen. God's splendor, God's brilliance, not in a dazzling display of light, not in fireworks, not in pageantry, but in a baby, in a man, the man who is God. Jesus could have come to this earth in dazzling physical brightness. One day he will. But John says we see his glory, his beauty, his majesty in Jesus the man. Jesus' humanity does not conceal, hide his glory. It shows it in all its beauty. It is nothing less than the most amazing miracle than that God should condescend to become one of us. It's where Hark the Herald Angels Sing doesn't get it quite right. We sing, veiled in flesh the Godhead see. His flesh doesn't veil his Godhead. It parades it. It shows it off. So better would be to sing guilt in flesh, shining in flesh. John says he's seen God's glory. Number one, he's seen it in the flesh. The question is, why do we see God's beauty most clearly when God the Son became the man, Jesus? And it's because of the second place John looks and sees God's glory. Number two, he's seen it in God's favor. He's seen it in God's favor. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of... How would you complete that sentence? Just if you know this passage by heart, just forget for a moment that you do. Okay? God the Son comes from the Father to the earth. He comes so that we mortals might see the full splendor of God's glory. So what would you expect the sentence to say? Who came from the Father full of power and might. Who came from the Father full of wealth and dignity. But no, we get this. Who came from the Father full of grace and truth. And John says this is his glory. Now again, the day will come when Jesus returns to this earth to judge the living and the dead. The day will come when he returns in pomp and ceremony, in great power and might. But this was not that day. This was the day he came full of grace and truth. Those are the two things that we most need. We all need the truth. We are all searching for what is out there. The ultimate meaning to life, the universe and everything, solid ground on which to put our feet. Jesus is the end of all our searching. Find him, we found the truth, because he came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And we all need grace, because grace means kindness, favor, goodness that is totally undeserved. There are many injustices in the world. People mistreat us. We see others mistreated even worse than we get. See it online. See it in the news. So in some ways we would want Jesus to come from God full of justice. To put things right. You don't have to think for long to realize that that is not actually what you want. Each and every one of us fails to treat God in the way he deserves. Each and every one of us mistreats the people around us. There is much injustice in the world. And folks, we are the perpetrators. That means we are not on good terms with God. If God appearing in all his glory meant a great showdown of justice, we'd be toast. So how wonderful that Jesus did not come full of justice and righteousness, but full of grace and truth. He came to bring us God's favor, his kindness, his forgiveness. We can be reconciled with God, a place in his family, all as sheer gift. The only way this could happen was if God the Son became a man so he can die in our place. Because he did that, God's favor is free for all who will receive it. It's what we've been singing about this evening. Let me quote you some carols. He assumed this mortal body, frail and feeble, doomed to die, that the race from dust created might not perish utterly. To you in David's town this day is born of David's line a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love, full of grace and truth. John has seen his glory, not in a great show of power, in the flesh, in God's favor. That means that Christmas gives us the chance to see God in all his glory, in all his splendor, in all his beauty. Because we don't see that in awesome power as he comes to judge, but as the God of heaven becomes a man to bring us God's truth and grace. In fact, we don't only get to see this God. What he did means we can actually know him for ourselves. This is a far more precious gift than anything else you could give or receive this Christmas. And God has done all the hard work for you. He came in the person of his Son from the Father, in flesh, full of grace and truth. This gift is free for all who will receive him.